The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you to the final hour of the program, and we are going to get back to your calls in a minute. If you want to give us a ring, this is a good time to do it at 855-242-7285. We had Jack Swarbrick on earlier, the athletic director at Notre Dame, a fantastic conversation with him, talking about the future of not only NIL, but the possibility of expanding the playoff. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Other guests have dropped by, including one of the reporters who broke the story about Les Miles today. We talked to Andrea Gallo from the Morning Advocate. She did a piece with Brooks Cabina talking about the fact that they have uncovered information that Les Miles, while he was the coach at LSU in 2013, offered a secret settlement to an LSU student intern who the newspaper, in their words, said accused Miles of hitting on her. He's also accused of using sexist language. The newspaper reported that there was a settlement reached that currently Miles is attempting to keep that secret. The university, as you must know by now, is investigating the culture at LSU during that period after a number of people have made allegations, including against some former staff members and former players, especially Darius Skye. So let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. We'll talk to Mike Morgan about tonight's SEC basketball in a few minutes. Joseph is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Joseph.
Hi, it's Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. What's up with you?
Good. Not too much. Hanging out. But listen, I want to know, I mean, how in the heck are we having all this conversation about, okay, LSU, different stuff, but nobody's talking about Ole Miss baseball, nobody's talking about Ole Miss basketball. But I understand the situation that we're at hand, that LSU might have a bad problem going on, and I'm worried about that. And that's horrible to say. But also, we have Ole Miss basketball sweep Missouri last night, and that's a pretty good thing. And also, baseball is looking pretty good. What do you think, Mr. Paul?
Well, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I thought it was a very impressive win last night, and I thought Ole Miss needed it after letting that game get away against Mississippi State. Ole Miss is number one in baseball. It is also late February, and you know the baseball season has just started. It's a week old, and I'm sure we will have plenty of opportunity to talk about that, but it's still an accomplishment, and I appreciate your call. Jeff is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
How you doing today?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. I was just calling. I heard you say something about, you know, I heard y'all talking about that uncovered about Les Miles. And I heard and from a rival source that basically the same thing that you're just talking about with a student has just happened at Troy.
Well, hold on, Jeff. Let me stop you there, because one thing I am not going to allow here is somebody to bring up some allegations that we have no way of knowing are true or not. So I only ask you.
I'm just asking you. Have you heard that?
No.
I'm not trying to bring it up.
I have not heard anything.
I had heard, and actually from a pretty reliable source, because you know, actually.
Let me stop you there for a second, okay? I once, when I was a newspaper reporter, I was investigating a story, and I went into my usually reliable source. I went into my editor, and he said, "So what do you got?" I said, "Well, this happened. I think this happened and that happened." He said, "And where are you getting this from?" I said, "A usually reliable source." He said, "What does that mean, usually reliable? Is he reliable or not? Because if he's not reliable, and if you can't back this story up, I don't want to hear the story." I was able to back it up. My point is, and I'm not giving you a lecture, you're a caller and I appreciate your call, but one thing we cannot allow here is someone who thinks they know something or hear something about someone's reputation, whether, you know, if there's something going on wherever there is supposedly something going on, the university will deal with it, and when it comes out, we will report it. The situation at LSU is different. This happened in 2013, and it is being reported, and the newspaper reporter corroborated, said they had cooperation, and there was a settlement. This is just not a he said, she said. So I appreciate your call, and I don't mean to give a lecture, but the one thing we can't afford is just idle gossip that could affect someone's career. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate it. Let's check in next with Dwight, who is in Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Dwight.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am well. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, brother. I just wanted to ask you about Deion and the Jackson State situation. What do you think? Do you think Deion talking about himself, or do you think he's trying to clean out the house of Jackson State?
Yeah, Dwight, I mean, I reacted fairly negatively to what he did Sunday, but you know, I've had friends tell me that's Deion, and I know him not very well, but I have interviewed him, and he is as entertaining and engaging a personality as I have ever met. But I just felt by making such a big deal about what he was talking about, it took away. But, you know, I think you have to accept who he is and what he brings. And if, you know, without Deion, would we be talking about Jackson State?
Exactly. I think he's a magnet to any university he's at, and all the recruits are just magnified to Deion. But you know, let's take Deion and himself out of this. Do you think he's, I don't know, Paul, he's one of the best ever to play the game?
Well, my question, Dwight, is this. How long is he there for? Is he in this thing for the long haul? Because turning a program like that around is a commitment. And, you know, Deion will bring attention for only so long. And I mean that, but if Jackson State doesn't turn out to be good in football, and I think they will be in the spring, but at some point we all get tired of the same thing. So, you know, Deion alone, he can bring reporters from national publications. He can bring attention. He can bring TV, but ultimately, in college football, you had better win, and you had better be impressive as you win. Brian is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Brian. Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, you're on the air. Go right ahead, Brian.
You can tell I'm in Mississippi. I'm an LSU fan, and you can tell Joseph is a typical Ole Miss fan. It's always poor, poor, pitiful Ole Miss. They never get no attention. And all they're going to do is get to the end and blow it like they always do in every sport.
Well, I think maybe we could look at it another way, that Joe's just proud that his team won a big game last night and is number one in baseball. But I don't know. Hey, thanks for the call. Donnie is in Arkansas, and you are on the air.
Yes, sir, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, sir. I know you're doing good since everybody's asked you did. Hey, listen, is there an award for an athletic director? Because I think the Arkansas athletic director should get an award. I mean, look at all of our sports.
I agree.
Football's moving up.
We're talking about Hunter Yurecek, and you talk about a guy that has made some sapient moves by hiring Pittman when no one else had him on their radar screen, and then bringing in Eric Musselman. Yes, those are genius moves.
And a 23 year old gymnastics coach who has, I mean, we're in the top five of that too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just talking. I mean, the big sports. I get that. I'm just talking.
No. I mean, yeah. Ultimately, athletic directors. I mean, they're graded on the marquee names, but you know how they do in other sports. And you know, the women's basketball program is doing well. I know that Coach preceded Hunter, yes, but Arkansas has a phenomenal athletic department right now.
Yes, sir. Woo damn pig. Thank you, sir.
You got it. We had a good conversation earlier with Josh Bertaccini, who hosts the top morning show in Northwest Arkansas and around the state. And, you know, the excitement is all time right now, especially for the game tonight and for Arkansas football. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Mike Morgan joining us shortly, looking ahead to some of those big games, including the one in Fayetteville. All of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And don't forget tonight, after all the basketball, SEC Now will have it covered for you. That's at 11 p.m. right here. And speaking of tonight, our next guest will be doing his usual game, as he does a couple of times a week for the SEC Network and others. Mike Morgan joining us. Mike, it's great to have you back on the program. So you have Tennessee tonight, and I'm sure in your deep dive, they have been an enigma. How are you? And give us a preview of some of that game first, and then we'll work our way around the SEC.
Yeah, sure thing, Paul. Always good to talk to you. I think Tennessee, you would have picked the most appropriate word. They are the ultimate enigma. I think we all thought that either Tennessee or Kentucky, speaking of enigmas, would be the top team, the top dog in the SEC this year. And at times, Tennessee plays the part. When they blew out Kansas in the Big 12 Challenge, they played the part. When they went to Florida and blew out the Gators in a road game, they play the part. But then at other times, for whatever reason, they just struggle to score. And that's what I don't get it. We talked to Rick Barnes earlier today. It's a frustration for him as well, the lack of consistency. And it's the one reason why that a lot of people have cooled off on Tennessee. I will say this for the Vols. They do two things that typically play well in the NCAA tournament. They defend extremely well. No one has ever questioned their defense. And number two, they can win in a half-court game. They don't have to play up-tempo. And very often, those games in March turn into those kind of affairs. That would play well for Tennessee, but they've got to be more consistent on offense. That is the number one thing, and they've got a few more games to get it right. And if they do, they can be very successful. If they don't, then they'll be very vulnerable come postseason time.
And, Mike, I think I could you might just move everything over in terms of trying to come up with other adjectives than enigma. But maybe exasperating would be the best word to describe the Missouri Tigers, because, they never disappoint when it comes to either exceeding or going below expectations this year.
Well, here's another adjective for you. Their fan bases are going to become apoplectic if they don't start playing a little bit better. we'll just dig out the thesaurus for this entire segment, Paul. You know, Missouri to me is not as difficult to figure. Look, you and I have a couple things in common. We're both snazzy dressers, and we both love Konzo Martin, right? I think Konzo is a great leader of men. I think he is a good coach who's been successful at a number of stops. I am not in love with the roster. Like, it's not, there's no NBA guys on it. There's no scary guys on it. I know Jeremiah Tillman tops the scouting report for a lot of teams, and he is playing really well as a senior. But they're not one of the most talented teams in this league, top to bottom. And I think that finally has caught up to them. They still can beat anybody, but they still can lose to anybody. And to lose last night's game at home in a rematch against Ole Miss is disappointing. And the way they have played the last four or five games is concerning if you're a Missouri fan. There's no question about that. Look, they're going to go to the tournament because their out-of-conference resume is as good, if not better, than anybody's in the SEC. Florida's got the biggest win at West Virginia. Missouri has the biggest wins, plural, when you look at what they did back in November, December. I just want to see them play better if they're going to actually go deep into the NCAA tournament. I think that's certainly a concern right now for Konzo Martin.
Mike, I wasn't doing this show here in 13, but I say that because I don't think I've ever asked this question before. Is Kentucky back?
Well, here's my thing. And I just had Kentucky last week, and here's what, if I'm a Kentucky fan, I'd be encouraged by, in addition to the fact they've been winning some games. Coach Cal was very adamant about the fact that they have finally cracked the code, if you will, on offense. They played good defensively all year long. It's never been the issue. But they have had a bunch of guys on offense that were not connected, that were not playing together, that were not making intelligent plays. So why are they shooting the ball better? Because they're passing the ball better and getting better looks. You know, that is the story for me and Kentucky. Now, look, not all five-star recruits are built the same, and this is not a typical Cal-loaded team. Brandon Boston is not Malik Monk. Devin Askew is not De'Aaron Fox. Keon Brooks is not Bam Adebayo, and certainly not Anthony Davis. But they have enough where if you were to ask me what is it, because I'm not going to give into that cliche, any team can win the SEC tournament. I don't believe that for a second. I believe anyone can win one game. But if we're going to battle cliches there, but Kentucky is a team that could actually go on a run and win four games in 4 days if they keep playing the way they're playing. If they get, Cal gave us a magic number of 18 assists a game, I would even say 15. That tells me they're distributing the basketball. That tells me they're playing unselfish. And that combined with the defense, all of a sudden, Kentucky's a real player. I will say this. If you're thinking about an at-large bid for UK, and my future wife's going to kill me because she's a huge Kentucky fan for saying this. I don't see it. I'll be sleeping on the couch because of this segment, Paul. I don't see that happening. I really think they got to go to Nashville and win it all. You know, there's humans on that committee. If it came down to Kentucky and a Belmont, look, it is a blue blood. That does play a factor. But the metrics are such that I really think if you're Kentucky and you're being realistic about it, you got to go in with the game plan of keep building blocks, keep playing well in the last few regular season games, of which they'll be favored to win them all, and then have one whale of a tournament and try to get through the back door.
I know you have a late game, and another late game tonight is in Fayetteville, and it is as good a game as we've had all year in the SEC. And that's saying something, but give us some thoughts on Alabama at Arkansas.
Well, look, the headliners for Arkansas, I mean, it's Moody, Note, Tate, and then they're going up against Petty, Jones. Those are the household names. I would add one key name who I think is going to be big for Alabama the rest of the way. He's playing really well now, and that's Jaden Shackelford. A year ago, he played no defense. Now he is. Now he's getting to the rim. And in other words, Alabama doesn't have to just hit 15 threes to win games. Jaden Shackelford in the game I had Saturday, he took over when they needed him to, not cranking up threes, but actually beating his man to the basket. He's a great finisher at the rim. It's a terrific matchup. To me, these are the top two teams in the league. They're both going to the tournament. They're both going to have a high seed, and I think they have the best chance of going deep into March because I don't see many flaws. Alabama plays great defense. That's a misnomer that they're all about just offense and finesse. They do D up. Arkansas is good on both ends of the floor. And I know you've had both these coaches on your show, and they're terrific interviews. But Eric Musselman and Nate Oates are terrific coaches. You're talking about two of the best hires that we've seen this league make, because we both know where those programs were. They were in a little bit of an off period, if you will. Those two coaches have reignited everything about those programs, and I think they're here to stay. Look at Florida State and the ACC. They're always near the top or at the top. So you have room for a non-blue blood to all of a sudden be a consistent winner. I think with these two coaches, Arkansas and Alabama, these are not one-year wonders. They're going to be good for a long time with those two coaches in town.
Mike, a couple more questions, and fantastic conversation as always. Every year as we head toward the end of February into March, it's bubble mania in the SEC. There's usually a team or two on there. I know Ole Miss fans, one day they're in, one day they're out. But I mean, other than Ole Miss, is, and I want you to describe, where you think they are. Is everyone else? Is the other six pretty secure right now? And who still has a shot? You mentioned Kentucky, but other than that.
Right. I think this is the most clear-cut year that I can remember in my 17, 18 years of calling SEC basketball, where there are six, as you said, they're in. I mean, Alabama, Arkansas, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, they're not going anywhere. They're going to get in the NCAA tournament. They're playing for seeding. That's normally not the case. Usually, you're talking about a half a dozen teams, at least a couple of them, there'd still be some meat left on the bone for them to digest in order to make sure they punch their ticket. So that's six in, right? And that's not a bad deal. The SEC is going to get 21 bids over the last three seasons. That's why I say the league is in very, very healthy shape the way it's been going the last few years. The problem is the bottom half, unless you win it all, and again, you keep it real on this show. I'm not going to give you a cliche that anybody can win. Yes, the 14 seed is going to win five games in 5 days in Nashville. That's not going to happen. It hasn't happened, and it probably won't happen this year. We're not having a tornado or some other cataclysmic event like we had in 08 at the Georgia Dome when Georgia came out of nowhere and won it. So when you look at that bottom half, I don't see any. I see a number of teams that can win one game, maybe two, none that are going to win four or five. Ole Miss is, as you mentioned, they are the big bubble team right now. They shot themselves in the foot, losing at home on Saturday to Mississippi State. And then the moment you count them out, they go on the road and beat Mizzou. They've got a net of 59. They're going to have to keep winning, and they're going to have to do some damage in Nashville to get back in Joe Lenardi's good graces and all the other people that do this for a living. The only other X-factor team, and I don't just say this to appease the Kentucky fan base, I do think if Kentucky continues to play the way they are, they have the ability to win four games in 4 days. So that to me is the only wild card team in terms of winning the whole thing that's not in the upper half. And the only team that's left on the bubble in terms of an at-large to me would be Ole Miss and Kermit Davis.
And finally, Mike Morgan here for another minute or two because he has to get ready for his game. But you talked about being in this league for 17, 18 years, and there's always this conversation, the SEC, this or that. And a couple of years ago, it was almost at rock bottom, and then it came back very dramatically. And I know Greg Sankey and his staff have had a lot to do with mandating better scheduling and everything. But how good is this league right now, Mike?
I think it is as athletic as any league in the country. Now, raw athleticism doesn't mean you're the best league in basketball. There's a lot of skill involved in the game. But here's the thing. The Big Ten is going to grab all the bouquets this year, and they should. I mean, they've got four teams that legitimately have a chance at the Final Four. I don't think any other league does. The Big 12 is very good, and some people think that they might be number one or right there with the Big Ten. And to those people, I would say, well, that's why we have an SEC Big 12 challenge every year, and the SEC won it 5-4. They had a couple other games that they could have won it by more. The point is, I think overall the health of this league, because everybody can have just a breakthrough year and then go back and fall down. And that's where the SEC was for a while. You know, if Kentucky and Florida were down, the league was viewed as really mediocre. And they, as you mentioned, Greg Sankey, and they brought other people on board, the Dan Leibovitzes of the world and others. to do everything they can to not sell this league short in the game of basketball, because it doesn't need to be held short. The facilities are there, the coaches are there, the money is there, and now all of a sudden you're building up credibility. So I think on any given year, the last few years, the SEC is right there with the Big 12, the Big 10. If 10 years ago, 6-7 years ago, Paul, I would not have said that at all. I would have said the league hit a low point, and they really needed to fix some things. But now, when you can have Kentucky having a down year, and everybody still looks at this league as a minimum of a six-bid league, that says the league is very healthy and continues to be with 21 bids minimum again in the last 3 years, potential of 22. I think right now the SEC doesn't have to take a backstage to anybody the way they have gathered depth overall in this league.
One of our best basketball conversations of the year with Mike Morgan. Mike, all the best tonight. Thank you, and come back soon. We really appreciate it.
Paul, always love joining you. Always love watching the show. Keep up the great work.
You got it. Fantastic conversation. That really was. I mean, that was as thorough and as objective a look at the SEC as we have had here in a while, and we appreciate it very much. We are heading to a break. Big, busy show. Jack Swarbrick making a lot of news earlier, the athletic director at Notre Dame, the reporter who broke the story down in Baton Rouge about Les Miles, and many more guests as well. We'll finish the show over the next 30 minutes, and we'll talk to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back here late on Wednesday afternoon. Trey is up next. Good afternoon, Trey. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Mr. Paul, I just want to share a little story with you, if you got a minute.
Of course.
On how I became to listen to your show.
Would love to hear it.
3 years ago, I lost my father. I lost my mother and my father, actually, but... My father had this old 06 Chevrolet pickup truck, and I was riding home one day, and I got flipping through all the radio stations he had programmed. You know, he listened to a lot of different country music and stuff, and I was trying to reprogram some stuff, and I got the number 6 on his dial there, and he had this show that was on, Paul Feinbaum. I had never watched the show, Mr. Paul. I ain't gonna lie to you, never even listened to you before, and I got the... listened to you that day when I got off work, and I realized that my dad knew so much about college football. He knows I'm a big football fan, watched it all my life. And my dad was a big baseball fan. He wasn't really into football. But the man always knew everything there was to know about football. And it dawned on me that day that that's how he knew, by listening to your show.
Well, that is – what was your dad's name, Trey?
His name was Chuck.
Wow.
Chuck Beatty.
I certainly hate to hear about your loss. I can't imagine losing both parents at the same time. We're in the similar time frame, but I really appreciate you sharing that. I know I sound a little biased here, but it sounds like your dad was a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, he was a very intelligent man, Mr. Paul. He sure was. And I just wanted to share that story, Mr. Paul, and I sure do appreciate it.
Well, I am so sorry to hear, but I'm gratified to hear about your dad, Chuck. And Trey, you take care of yourself, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share that story with all of us.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you very much. Wow, that's really cool. Cat Daddy is up next. How are you, Cat Daddy?
Hey, Big Paul, how you doing, son? You sounding good? You looking good? How the Gamecocks? I heard that fella earlier on your show saying we had a great recruiting year and pulled in some few players. And I looked at the rankings, and we ranked like 101 on the chart for recruiting.
Maybe maybe he had bad eyesight. He couldn't quite make out the number, Cat Daddy.
I'm telling you what, it ain't good right now, but we're hoping for the best. They're already calling it the Bema era here in Columbia, and everybody's getting excited. I've talked to some friends of mine I went to high school with. You know, I went to a small school when I was in high school. An old small school out there in Hopkins, South Carolina.
Okay.
In fact, I'll tell you how small that school was, Mr. Paul.
How small?
It was so small, we had our sex education and driver's ed course in the same car.
Well, you know, Cat Daddy, as I remember driver's ed, I think the two seemed to go hand in hand, didn't they?
I think so, because, you know, I bet you remember the drive-in theaters. I was young as all days.
I vaguely remember them, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I used to be a window tapper at the Starlight Drive-In here in Columbia.
A window tapper?
Yeah, whenever the windows got fogged up on the cars, I had to walk over there and knock on the door. So stop that. Cut that out.
Man, those were the days, Cat Daddy, when you can, wouldn't you pick up that little speaker and put in your car when you drove in?
Oh, yeah, and I remember one they had over there in West Columbia where you'd actually put in the speaker and the air conditioner, had the air conditioner coming out of hose.
Oh, my goodness.
And I miss the drive-in theaters. I think them youngins nowadays just don't know how much fun it was. Of course, all the movies I went to, I don't remember the end of them.
I bet you don't remember any of the movies.
Have a good night, Mr. Paul.
Cat Daddy, bringing the humor. That's pretty funny. John is up next in Florida. Hey, John, thanks. Good afternoon.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question, Mr. Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing well.
My question was, Florida State had found a way to put Deion Sanders on the coaching staff. Because recruiting-wise, we'd have been straight.
Oh, I don't know what's going to happen with Mike Norvell. I think he's a good coach, but if he does not make it there, I think Deion could very well be the next head coach there. I don't think Deion. Maybe he would, but I can't imagine a better recruiter than Deion. Can you?
No, sir. Because he's from Florida, so
oh yeah,
down south way, we'd have got everything.
No, I don't know where Deion was the last time they made a hire, but I mean sometimes you do just have to go for the fences, and I mean even though I was aghast at what Deion did this week, I've gotten over it. I mean I like the guy; he is a magnet, as one of the callers said, and he would be able to recruit. I mean, Florida State has had some very famous players. And some great players,
yes,
Heisman
sir.
Trophy winners, but I don't think there's anybody in star quality that rivals Deion.
No, sir. No, sir. Prime time all day.
Let's go. Hey, let's. You tell Norvell he's out. I'll call Deion and we'll take care of it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Can you imagine at ACC Media Days we do that every year, and certainly Saban, Saban is huge. Spurrier was big. You always wanted to hear what certain coaches wanted to say, but you would have to devote the entire day to Deion Sanders. Can you imagine poor old Dabo walking in right after Deion? It nobody would talk to him. Anyway, we'll take a break. We still have a few minutes to go. We hope you'll continue to join us. It's been quite a show with the LSU scandal making the news, and, of course, our very interesting conversation with Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame. We're coming right back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.